Welcome to New Season Ministry with Evangelist Jeremy Cook. We hope today's message will challenge, encourage, and uplift you in your walk with the Lord. Enjoy the message.
Go with me to the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. The book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. As you're turning there, I want to say this is not a Christmas message. This is not a Christmas message. Yesterday, while I was praying and meditating, the Lord spoke a phrase to me. He spoke one word to me, and I haven't been able to get away with it. I haven't been able to get away from it. And my mind, and even when I woke up about 2:30 this morning. And the Lord, I feel like the Lord still began to speak this one word to me. This is what he said. He said, words. Words. Because I believe that words are important. I believe that what somebody says is important. I think you've heard me talk about this now, that words don't ever leave our atmosphere. The sound waves never leave our atmosphere. Science tells us that if they had the technology to be able to do it, and they're actually trying to develop the technology to be able to tap into sound waves so that quite possibly we could bring up and we could hear somebody like Martin Luther King actually say, you know, and I know we've got videos and stuff like that, but or to hear Abraham Lincoln give the Gettysburg Address. Or what about hearing Jesus give the Sermon on the Mount? And they said because science teaches us that sound waves don't dissipate. Once something has been spoken, once something has been said, it is out there in the atmosphere. It's out there. It doesn't dissipate. It doesn't go away. What we say, our worship, never goes away. And aren't you glad for that? Our prayers never go away. Can I tell you, our negativity that we speak never goes away. Our complaining, it never goes away. Because a lot of times, I mean, he knows that a lot of times we'll cancel out prayers. But anyway, that's not part of the message. I just wanted to share that. I wanted to share with you about first words tonight, to this morning. In Luke's Gospel chapter 2, let's start at verse 41. I'm going to read down through the rest of this chapter because it's important as we look at this. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. And all that heard were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. And verse 49 gives us the very first words ever recorded by Jesus. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came into Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in their heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and with man. I want to talk to you this morning, if the Lord will help me, on first words. Because the first words that that we ever have recorded of Jesus is the phrase, "I must be about my Father's business." I know that we're in the holiday season. I know that we're in. I know that we are in the Christmas season. If we were here in Sunday school, if you were here in Sunday school this morning, we talked about the babe Jesus being born and being in a manger. But I believe that the first words that Jesus, that we ever have recorded in Scripture, as of Jesus saying that I must be about my Father's business, echo in my ear that as we go forward, as the Church of the Living God goes forward, we've got to be about the Father's business. We've got to be about the Father's business. You see, words are very powerful. When words are spoken, they're very powerful. Let me tell you about the power of words for just a moment. Words can start wars, or they can negotiate peace. Words can wound, or words can heal. Words can build up great enterprises and businesses, or a simple word can destroy them. The most powerful words that were ever spoken were spoken by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus wasn't falsely accused and crucified because of the miracles he performed. He wasn't crucified because he opened up a blinded eye. He wasn't crucified because he unstopped a deaf ear. But he wasn't crucified because he raised the dead. But Jesus was crucified not because of his works or his miracles, but because of his word. Oh, I'm getting ready to preach here. You see, because the Bible tells us that Jesus' words were eternal. The Bible tells us that Jesus' words were gracious. The Bible tells us that Jesus' words were authoritative. The Bible tells us that Jesus' words were spiritual, that they were life-giving. The Bible tells us that nobody could speak like our Jesus. Nobody could speak like our Lord and Savior. His words even brought judgment, and his words were divine. And so when we talk about words this morning, church, when we look at the words of Jesus, I want us to consider the very first words that Jesus spoke when Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." Because this was all in the context this morning in Scripture. The fact that Mary and Joseph go to the feast of Passover. They travel into Jerusalem and they observe the feast of Passover. That was the Jewish custom. That was what they needed to do. And as they were leaving, they got about a day's journey and they realized Jesus is missing. Now think about that. You're his earthly mother and earthly father, and you lose Jesus in the midst of everything. Can you imagine? Can you imagine especially how Mary must have felt in all of this? I mean, everybody say, "Well, have you seen Jesus?" No, I didn't see Jesus. Have you seen Jesus? No, he's probably up front in the caravan somewhere, and they go about a day's journey, and Jesus is not there. They ask aunts and uncles. Elizabeth might have even been there. And they begin to ask, "Have you seen Jesus?" "No, I haven't seen Jesus. Where's Jesus at?" And all of a sudden they realize Jesus is not there. The Son of God, the one that I've been entrusted to provide for and to care for, Jesus is not there. So they go back into Jerusalem and they're looking everywhere. They go into the marketplace and they can't find him. They go into the restaurants, they can't find him. They check here, they check there, they check everywhere, and they can't find Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it was 3 days they were looking through Jerusalem to find Jesus. And the Bible says that they finally go to the temple. They go to the house of God. And there is Jesus. Jesus is talking to the doctors and the lawyers. And he's listening to them. And he's questioning them. And asking all sorts of questions. And Mary gets on to Jesus. And looks at Jesus and says, "Where have you been? Why did you get, you gave, Jesus, you gave us a panic attack. Jesus, you, well, why in the world did you go? Didn't you see us leaving? Didn't you know that we were leaving? And now here you are, and you're here in the temple, and you're talking, and you're doing all of this, and we've been looking for 4 days for you. What are you up to? Why have you brought this sorrow upon us? We're panicking. We're filled with anxiety." And Jesus doesn't look at them and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. I'm sorry about this. I didn't mean to upset you. I didn't mean to do any of this. No, Jesus didn't say any of that. Jesus, at 12 years old, looks his mama in the eye and says, "Hey, don't you know that I need to be about my Father's business? Don't you know that what I'm doing right now is greater than your fear and greater than your..." My goodness, I'm getting ready to preach. "Don't you know that what I'm doing right now, that there's something that my Father, my Heavenly Father, is preparing me for? And I've got to be about my Father's business." You see, the interesting thing is that Jesus knew exactly who he was. Jesus knew exactly what his purpose was. Jesus knew exactly what his Father had called them to do. I want to tell you right now, in this house this morning, is that we're confused about a lot of things. We're scratching our heads wondering what in the world is happening in America. And I get it, we're up in arms about bills that have just been passed recently that legalize some abominable things. But here's the thing that we as the Church of the Living God have got to understand in this house. We've got to understand what the Father's business is all about. We've got to understand if we know who we are, if we know where we need to be, and if we know what we need to do concerning the kingdom of God, then what that does is that gives us purpose. It's when we don't know what we should do. It's when we don't know how that we should respond. It's when the things that happen in the culture upset us. But you see, Jesus wasn't upset like his parents were about everything. He looked at them and he said, "I've got to be about my Father's business. It's more than just your fear. It's more than just your anxiety. But I already know my assignment. I already know what God has called me to do. I already know what the Father has placed in my heart." And you can be upset if you want to. You can be filled with anxiety. And I'm just preaching it right now. You can be filled with anxiety if you want to. You can be confused and not know what needs to happen. But I know my purpose. And I know what my Father has called me to do. Because you didn't call me. You didn't send me. I'm thankful for you taking care of me. I'm thankful for all of that. But here is the thing. I know who I am. I know what the Father has called me to do. And can I tell you, in this house this morning, the Church of the Living God, in this season and this hour, has got to get in a sense of identity of what we need to do. Listen, we can be mad at one another. We can be mad at the government. We can be mad at the president. We can be mad at governors and senators and everything. We can be mad at the community and everything. But we've got to get a sense of what God has called us to do. We've got too many of us right now in the American church that are confused, that are being swayed to and fro by the winds of culture. But my brothers and sisters, we've got to understand in this house today that we've got an assignment. We've got an unction from the Holy One. We've got an assignment, and we've got to get about the Father's business. We can't sit back and talk about trivial stuff. There is a lost and a dying world out there that is going to hell. And if the Church of the Living God doesn't raise up in the power
saith the Lord. Judgment is going to begin at the house of God. My God, I'm getting ready to pray. Judgment is getting ready to begin at the house of God. Because where are the men and women that are filled with the Spirit and the power of God that will rise up and say, hey, listen, we're going to declare, thus saith the Lord. My Father has sent me on assignment. Christ has sent me on assignment. And I'm not going to be swayed by what's going on in Washington, D.C. I'm not going to be swayed by what's going on in Frankfurt. I'm not going to be swayed by what's going on around me. I know in whom I have believed. I know that God has called me. I know that God has sanctified me. I know that God has filled me with the Holy Ghost. I've got an assignment, and I'm going to fulfill my assignment. I've got to be about my Father's business. If Jesus understood that, we've got to understand that. Amen. I didn't plan on getting that loud right now, but we've got to understand our assignment. Jesus would say, how is it that you sought me? Don't you know I've got to be about my Father's business? These first words of Jesus was important, because these words laid the foundation of everything that Jesus would do. Look at the situation surrounding what Jesus is getting ready, what Jesus says in this. Bible says, number one, that Jesus was listening and he was questioning. He understood that. He understood as they were there celebrating the Passover, and he was seeing the ritualism that was going on. And he began to see what the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all of that was doing. And he saw the people at the temple going through the motions of religion. He knew that there was no sincere worship that was going. He began to ask questions. What's wrong with the worship? Where is the sincerity of worship? Where is the purity of worship? Then he would look at their doctrine. And he would listen as they would begin to talk, and he would ask questions, and through that he would find out, wait a minute, They're outside of their doctrine. They look at this and he begins to understand, and he says, wait a minute, this is all about. Jesus would watch the offering of the Passover and wonder, do these people really know what they're doing? They really know what this is all about? Do they really understand what the lambs being slain is for? You see, because here's the thing. What he discovered is that they were more interested in a ritual than they were a relationship. I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, we are more, a lot of time in the Pentecostal church, we are more interested in a ritual then we are a relationship. And when we are more interested in a ritual than we are a relationship, it makes it very difficult to understand about being about the Father's business. Because ritualism is all about keeping things in place. I'm getting ready to preach here. Ritualism is all about, hey, you know, this is the way that it's always been done, and this is the way that it always should be done. I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees were more interested in ritual than they were relationship. We've got a lot of people that sit in our pews across this country that we show up to church. We may throw a few bucks in the offering basket. We may even lift up our hands. We'll help in the kitchen. We'll do this and we'll do that. But it's never about a relationship. Because a relationship means that your heart, or that his heart, becomes your heart. His desires become your desires. His business becomes your business. His ways become your ways. His thoughts become your thoughts. And Jesus sits and he listens. And Jesus is sitting in this temple and he's challenging the status quo. I believe that what God wants to do in these last days is challenge the status quo. It's quiet. I get it. It's quiet. God wants to challenge the status quo. Jesus called the temple my Father's house. And the temple was for God's glory, not for man-made religion. As a matter of fact, he would later cleanse the temple, calling it his Father's house. Why? Because he expected the temple. He expected this temple to be a temple of prayer. You see, at the end of Jesus' ministry, before his crucifixion, he would drive out the merchants and he would quote Isaiah and Jeremiah and he would say, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Let's put it, is this temple a house of prayer? Is the number one characteristic of the temple of the Holy Ghost is that we are men and women of prayer? Are we men and women? I didn't say of offerings. I didn't say of devotions. I said, are we people of prayer? Because I believe that the number one reason why our churches are not experiencing revival in this day and in this age is because we are not men and women of prayer. Because if you become a man or woman of prayer, you'll experience revival, and revival will sweep into the church. My God, I'm preaching right now. Revival will sweep into the church. Our temple ought to be a place where the preaching of the word and the good news of salvation, people ought to look at us and see the good news of Jesus exuberating from us. They ought to know. We ought to also be people of power.
We ought to be a place of power. The Holy Spirit came in power. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, why is there no power? Sister Steele and I were talking before service. She was sharing the story of the church they were in where a gentleman got so touched by the Spirit of the Lord, he ran up on the platform and dove over into the baptistry, dove into the water. And I explained to her, and I said, yeah. I said, because here's the interesting thing. I said, there was a time the baptistry stayed full.
Yes.
I'm not knocking anything. Don't get me wrong. Because we didn't know from one service to the next who was going to get saved. We didn't know. I mean, listen. We didn't know if on Sunday night 7 or 8 people were going to get saved in that service. We didn't know if on Wednesday night. You know, Wednesday night's the nowadays, that's a throwaway service, right? You know, that's a service that we come in and we're all tired and you know, we've worked a long day and stuff like that, and you know, we just come to church on Wednesday night because it's just obligation. I just want to show up to church because I don't want pastor calling me on Thursday asking me where I was at, right? Come on, you know I'm preaching. You know I'm preaching good right now. Then we're, you know, I'm preaching right, and so. We didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. We didn't know who was going to get healed. We didn't know who was going to get delivered. We didn't know if there was if, if there was
if there was a demon that's going to be that was going to be cast out, oh, I still believe that.
Yes, amen. Yes.
But now what happens is, the average church in America runs about 80 people. Some statistics tell us that number is actually less now. It's probably somewhere between 50 and 60, the average church in America. But they say that the average church in America does not win one person to Jesus in a year. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. So if he expects us to be people of prayer, if he expects us to be people of power, we wish we could have just a good Christmas message, right? But I've got to get this out because I feel like that the Lord has spoken this to me. Does our business line up with the business of heaven? Does our business line up with the business of heaven? Because he wants us to be people of prayer. He wants us to be people of the word. He wants us to be a people of power. He questions and he sees things, and then Jesus answers. People were amazed at Jesus' answers. Can I tell you what the answer is to what we see? Jesus. Can I tell you what the answer is to what is plaguing Washington, D.C. right now? Jesus. Can I tell you what the issue, what the answer is to everything? Jesus. Yes. Jesus is the answer to the deepest needs and to the deepest questions. When we look at everything that's going on, the answer has to be Jesus. If we are preaching anything else but Jesus, we have missed it. Jesus is the answer. We are the dwelling place of God. And he wants us to know that the way to God was not a religion, but a relationship. The Father's business is about bringing people into relationship. It is about bringing people into a relationship with Christ. Now, I know this is not a hoop and holler shouting message, nor is it designed necessarily to be one, but it is designed for us to examine ourselves. Jesus came to restore the relationship to God. You see, Jesus would say at the Feast of Tabernacles, in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38, he would lift up his voice and he would say, if anyone thirst, let him come. And then he says, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. The answer is coming to him. The answer to everything. Can I tell you what the answer is to your health? Jesus. What's the answer to restoring relationships? Jesus. Can I just tell you this? We've got to learn to put Jesus right in the middle of everything. We've got to learn to put Jesus in the middle of everything. I cannot tell you how many times in ministry, in almost 21 years of ministry, when we face problems and we face heartaches and we face difficulties, we run to everybody else but Jesus. We pick up the phone and we get this person's advice. We get the other person's advice. And those all have a place. Those all have Those all have its places.
But there are things that only Jesus can fill. And he says, if you're thirsty, come to me. If you're hungry, come to me. If you're sick, come to me. If you're weary, come to me. If you're tired, come to me. If you're brokenhearted, come to me. If your life is full of fear, come to me. What we've got to understand in this day and in this age, we've got to come to Jesus. The answer is Jesus. It's Jesus when you're sick. It's Jesus when you're full of fear. It's Jesus when you don't have any money in the bank. It's Jesus when your kids are acting crazy. It's Jesus when the world has lost their mind. I want to tell you, it is Jesus, because Jesus is the answer for all of mankind. We've got to get back to that simple, simple truth that it is still Jesus. He is the Savior of all mankind.
Can I tell you, if we're also going to be about the Father's business, I'm almost done. If we're also going to be about the Father's business, you have to look at Jesus' example of obeying. Now think about this. Jesus looks at his mother and says, I've got to be about my Father's business. But when Mary and Joseph say, come on, he obeys them. Jesus returns to Nazareth with his parents and he's obedient. And what's the result of that? Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, and Jesus increased or grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. If you are going to be about the Father's business, you've got to know the power of obedience. If you are not obedient, you cannot grow.
Amen.
Mm. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus was filled with wisdom. Doesn't say that he was filled with favor. But it says that he grew. As he learned obedience, then the Father used him, and things begin to grow in his life. You see, wisdom and power come from obedience. Now see, let me just piggyback off of something that Sister Tanya said. Because we look at obedience as not doing certain things. And that's true. I believe that with every fiber of my being. But let me remind you of a scripture. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So sin is not so much the fact that we don't do these certain things, but it could be what you should be doing and are not.
Amen.
Oh, here we go. Can I just teach this for a minute? Sister Tanya, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be very, very interesting. Listen, I told you we're not swinging from the lamps today. And I believe this is good, practical, biblical. Jesus would talk about that on that day. There would be those who would be beaten. And we don't like that, do we? He says, there would be those that would be beaten with many stripes, those would be beaten with few stripes. I will tell you, that scripture bothers me.
I don't like that scripture. If I was the Holy Spirit, I'd take that scripture out. I wouldn't have put that in there. And this is Jesus speaking, because Jesus would say, and here's the reason why that happens. He says, because those that are, he says, if you're worthy of many stripes, you'll be beaten with many stripes. If you're worthy of few stripes, you'll be beaten with few stripes. This is what he says. He says, the ones that are beaten with many stripes are the ones that knew to do my will and did not do it.
Amen.
And Jesus says, I must be about. Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. He understood the power of obedience, because he understands that if when you're obedient, things in you begin to grow. He understands that if you are obedient, obedience brings favor. Obedience brings favor. Not only with God, but with man. Do you know what the wisest man in the world, Solomon, would say? The wisest man in the world, Solomon, would say, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Remember Jesus, that he would say, give, and it shall be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We preach that at offering time. Give. We want you to give a big offering to the Lord. Because when you give a big offering to the Lord, God will give you, it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. But put that in its proper context. When you are obedient and your ways please, what you give to others, God gives back to you. So when you give mercy, you receive mercy. When you give forgiveness, you give back forgiveness. When you give love, you give back love. But it's not God that gives it to you. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Well, he calls men to give back unto you. Because for the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured back unto you. If you are obedient to God, he will cause men, he will cause the favor of God, he will cause the favor of man to follow you. Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. So let me ask you this morning. I know it's a different message, it's a different teaching, and what have you. Are we about the Father's business? That's the question that I want to use for us to examine ourselves today. Are we about our Father's business? If people saw us out in the marketplace, saw us out in the streets, saw us out, could they say, you know what? Pastor Jeremy is about the Father's business. Can I just be honest with you? There are times in my life I'm not about the Father's business. And I have to look at God and I have to say, God, I haven't been doing what you have required me to do. And I repent of that. Help me to stay focused. Why? Because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and everything else is added unto us. Are we about the Father's business? As 2023 is getting ready to start, how many would have ever thought we'd make it to 2023? I was kind of hoping on that rapture. I really was. I mean, how about you? I mean, that's, I've been seeing the way how things are. I'm like, you know, God, do you need some help with that? I will. Never would have thought we had made it to 2023. Never would have thought that we would have seen the things that we are seeing right now just in America. I mean, we understand just a few days ago, we legalized abomination in the sight of God. And can I just be honest with you? Can I just be perfectly honest with you?
the majority of churches in America were silent on it. Didn't say one word. I was telling somebody, I said, it reminds me of, of course, I wasn't alive back then, but just as a study of history, especially church history, I said it reminded me of the 60s when one demon-possessed woman could walk in and say, you know what? Your kid's not allowed to pray in school anymore. And while we were arguing about a method of worship, while we were arguing about hairstyles and makeup styles and dress styles, we weren't about the Father's business. And I'm just honest with you, I saw that this week, to where nobody spoke up. Oh, sure, we'll argue with each other and we'll complain to each other, but nobody stood up for the most part and said, this is what thus saith the Lord. Let's call for a time of prayer. Because, can I just be honest with you? This breaks my heart. And I know this is not these are not popular messages. I wish that I could give you something today to make you run and shout and leave out of here like, woo-hoo-hoo, you know. And I looked this week and I was heartbroken over the fact that most people didn't, pastors and ministers, and stood up to say, hey, this is, let's, in all of this, let's call a prayer meeting. Churches, let's pray. We've got to be about the Father's business. So my question to you before we pray is for us to examine ourselves to say, hey, are we about the Father's business? What do we need to do? Now, it's easy to say, oh, yes, we are. And where's the fruit of it? What's the fruit of it? Jesus' very first words was understanding his identity and his purpose by saying, I've got to be about the Father's business. Harvest time, and those that are watching and those that will be hearing this message later, my desire and my prayer is that we will be a people that will be about the Father's business. Amen? Amen. Stand with me all over this house.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Evangelist Jeremy Cook. If you would like more information regarding New Season Ministry, to schedule Jeremy to minister at your event, or to support the ministry with a love gift, please contact us at 859-404-4007. Or you may email him at pastorjeremycook@gmail.com. God bless, and we will see you next time on New Season Ministry.